this series, Elevate, what we're going to do is we're going to discover something which has been on my heart again for a number of months, actually. And I need to learn some lessons again myself. So I'm as much preaching to myself this morning as I'm preaching to you. I mean, you might be sitting there going, like, the effects of praise. Well, why should I listen to this? What's it got to do with me? And actually, what is it to do with my life? I'm going to say that over these next few weeks, and I know we've got Robin next week, invite people to come down. Do you know, he's doing it as a favor to me, I'm going to be honest, because he's totally chocolate booked for the whole year. And he's coming down. So let's use the opportunity and get people along to hear him not just minister in song, but minister through the word. It's going to be brilliant. And days of Elijah and all rocking it out again. Can't wait. So I've actually put a few requests in, so he's going to do all my favorite Robin Mark songs, hopefully. So, but what I'm going to say is this. I'm a preacher who believes completely in the unmerited favor of God. And what I'm going to say, this is why praise matters to you, because it releases grace. Praise releases grace. If you need healing, if you need something restored, if you need hope, if you need encouragement, if you want to see those walls come down, I love the fact when the Spirit of God is speaking to you, it's right on track with what I'm going to say this morning. If you need to see those walls dismantled, the story this morning is for you. Because the praise of God, whenever the people of God praise God, no matter what's going on in their life, it releases grace and impossible things happen. So if you are looking at impossible things in your life or just very difficult things, if you are living in the gap between God, you have said this is done, I am not seeing it, you have a number of options. You can get frustrated, bitter, and angry with God and with the church, or you can turn it around, start to praise God, and I promise you it is a key to seeing impossible things come about. And so what we're going to do is we're going to discuss together the effect of praise on our life, on our worlds, the effect that praise has on God, has on the devil, and all sorts of stuff. And so if you are living like in the now, but not the not yet, as I called it, a year before we knew that Ben was pregnant, I preached a sermon on a Sunday morning in CFC. And I preached that the word that God had given me is, I'm living in the now, but the not yet. God has spoken to me. Is there something wrong? Is my zip down? When Ben was pregnant? Yeah. Do you know what? Hello? You've just totally put me off. What was I saying? Who am I and what am I doing here? Can anyone help me? I see the Glasgow. Someone threw those Glasgows out, honestly, chuckling away to themselves. Huh. But praise releases grace into pregnant four-year-olds and all the rest of it. It's a key, folks. Praise releases favor. Praise changes hearts. Praise changes people. Praise muzzles the enemy. Praise brings healing. And praise will bring life. You know how many times I've discovered this week as I've started to understand what is God, what is the missing key in my life at times? And what I've discovered is I've let tears and I've let worries replace praise. When I focus on my problems and my circumstances, you know what? That's where I stay. My life goes in the direction of my dominant thoughts. You might have become staid in your own praise of God. What I'd probably say is, do you really know what he's done for you? When I've started to meditate again on what Jesus has done for me, my heart just turns to praise. Thank God for Jesus. You might have become a little bit staid. You might have become a little bit, I don't know, tired. It's not a church thing. This is not about having a church where it's like from the first chord of glory, every hand's in the air, and you're elbowing people in the face just to get the hands in the air, you know, to show how much expression of praise you can give. This is a wet Tuesday in February when your world is crashing down. You can't pay your bills, you're feeling sick, and you get a bad report from anyone and everyone. This is the difference that praise makes. It releases grace no matter where you are, at whatever time of the day, at whatever situation you may be, and it changes impossible situations. It unlocks doors in your life. You might be in a time of conflict now. You might be in a time of trial. For most people, that's when we start to concentrate on what is wrong. And if you're in a time of trial and you say, well, I can't really praise God. I can't really be that person who turns my heart away from what is wrong and puts it back onto Jesus because it's just too flipping tough. I understand that at times. A few weeks ago in our last series, I described how there was times in my life, I could, you know, very recently, where I didn't know how to lift my head in the morning. And so I understand how difficult it can be whenever we're in a time of trial. But I'm going to say, and we're going to talk about it, that instead of doing a lot of talking, complaining with ourselves and with other people, that should be the best time where we cultivate a thankful and grateful heart, because it is in those moments where we set ourselves up for incredible victories. And so praise is incredible. Impossible things will happen in an attitude and in an atmosphere of praise. So my challenge to you this morning is this, and over this series, is no matter where you are, will you determine in your heart to be a person, a man or a woman, who comes what may — is that even the right expression? Comes what may? Whatever happens, I'm going to praise God. You've got to determine it today, because it's a key. And quite often in charismania-type churches, we've discovered the ecstasy of the big performance and lost the intimacy of praise and worship during the week. And I want to unpack some of that and go, this is not about all of this. That is just a genuine reflection of, I lift my hands and praise God. I'm really concerned for you during the week when you're not standing here with Adam McCulloch belting out great worship. How do you respond to the trials and to the challenges that we all face? Praise will release grace. Amen. So let's turn up 2 Chronicles chapter 20. That's in the Old Testament. We're going to talk about a guy called Jehoshaphat. It'd be great if he was from East Belfast. Jehoshaphat, right? Because it's all A's the whole way through. Jehoshaphat was the great, great, great grandson of King David. He's the fourth king of Judah. And we're going to look at a story which — do you know what I love about the message of God's grace? There's lots of grace preachers, and all they do is they preach Romans and Galatians, because that's where you find Paul's masterpieces of grace. Grace is Jesus and God himself. You see it everywhere. And the story — this, we're going to look at one chapter this morning, I'm going to rattle through, but we're going to discover that grace is everywhere. Everywhere you look in the Bible, if you've got the heart for it, you will see the heart of God to deliver people with the unmerited favor and the goodness of God in every situation. It's incredible. So this guy, Jehoshaphat, is a good guy. He comes and he becomes a king when he's 35, and he will go on to reign for 25 years as the fourth king of Judah. This was somewhere down the line when the tribes had split, and he was the king. And so what happens is he's facing a real problem and a real challenge, because the armies of the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the guys from Seir are all gathering against him, and to be honest, it's not looking good. The guy's in trouble. Now, he's a godly man, he's a good guy, but he is in difficulties because of what is in front of him is far too big in the natural, a little bit like Gideon, for him to overcome. Now, I don't know what you do whenever in your life this week you have something going on that is just too big, or you can't change it yourself. Let's have a look. In verse 3, what we're told here is that Jehoshaphat, as he hears the story of the challenge that's laid out in front of him, he hears this, and he goes, right, I'm afraid. It's okay to be afraid whenever you look at your situation. The issue is, what are you going to do when you're afraid? Whenever bad news comes into your life this week, what are you going to do? If your situation is difficult this week, what are you going to do? This guy is such a blueprint. When he hears the story of the armies that are gathering against him that will completely destroy him and his people, he felt afraid. But the first thing he does, we're told in verse 3, is he set his heart to seek the Lord. He set his face to seek the Lord. He gathers with like-minded people. He gathers around those people. And as soon as the bad news comes, his first response is, I'm going to seek God. This is so easy. I mean, it'd be hard for any preacher to mess this one up. Really, really hard. And I'm sorry if you're going to find this is too simple for you this morning. Do you know the most simple things in the Bible are the hardest things? Because we actually understand them. It's just about doing them. Isn't that right? So whenever the news comes, and the challenge is, what do you do when bad news comes? Jehoshaphat turns to God and he seeks his face. His first call was God. He didn't turn to the people. He didn't turn to his friends. He didn't turn to his advisors. He didn't turn to find out the opinion of everybody else and what they should do. He didn't turn to the people who he felt that he could deliver him. His first call in front of overwhelming circumstances was God. He turned away from people and set his face to God. I have been guilty of setting my face to people and turning my face from God whenever a challenge comes into my life. I either turn my face to myself, or I turn my face to other people and I go, help. And God has been saying to me that people will not be able to deliver you, Andrew, the way that I will deliver you. People will not be able to turn impossible situations around. I will turn them around. Whenever the challenge comes, where are you going to turn to first? Are you going to turn to God and his promise, God and his truth, God and his faithfulness, or will you stand and face it alone? Now, in verses 5 to 12, in the face of his fear, there's a situation that he knows he cannot change, and he is facing defeat in the face. This is how we see that the praise of a man before God changes impossible situations. So what he does is he just doesn't turn his face to God and say, "Oh, flip, we're all knackered. Hello, God, as I've done many times, are you even there?" Has anyone ever said that to God? Seriously? "Oh, thank you. Oh, that one honest man at the back. You know, have you ever turned around? I'm turning my face to God, but I'm saying, God, any chance? Can I give you a few ideas here how to help me get out of this situation? Anybody? God, help." That's not what he did. Let's read here in 6 and 7. He turns his face to God and he says, "You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend?" What he does is, as he turns his face to God, he reminds himself and he declares the previous victories that God has brought about in his life. People, if you want to be somebody of breakthrough, you've got to say, when the hard times come, "I'm going to turn my face to God and say, God, thank you that you have delivered me in the past." You've got to remind yourself of who God is and the victories that you have had. It is about turning to God and saying, "God, despite the challenges that I have right now, I'm going to turn to you and I'm going to say thank you." This morning, you know, for us, after Ben was born, we waited years for hope to arrive. That's why she's called Hope, a confident expectation of good. And in those times, what God spoke to us was, "Andrew, Penny, will you stand and thank me for what I have done in the past, even though you're not seeing it right now in your present?" Why do you do that? Because it builds faith. Somebody said this morning about an atmosphere of faith. And we're going to see what happens in an atmosphere of faith this morning. But I want to encourage you that you've got to remind yourself and declare over your life and over your situation, despite what you're looking at with your eyes, you've got to declare the goodness of God. Because whether you believe it or not, it is true and it releases grace. I want to challenge you in your cars this week, in your homes this week. I want to challenge you when you get up and you're driving along to declare the goodness of God over your life, to declare the promise of God over your life, because it builds your faith for victory. Don't talk and complain in your head and go over and over around it. Set your face to God and say, "God, you're good." And nobody in this room will struggle for good things to say thank you to God for. Anyone? Is it our list of wants or our list of thanks? Because what's going to happen in this situation with Jehoshaphat is it's going to cause an incredible victory. He then says, "We will stand before your house," verse 9. "We will stand before this house and before you," the house of God, "for your name is in this house, and we cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save us." You will hear and save us. Before anything else, Jehoshaphat makes a declaration of who God is and what he has done. And then what he says is, "You will save and you will hear." This is the key. He says, "God, because you are true, I am going to thank you for my victory before I see it. Because you will save. I am so flipping confident, God, of what you've done in the past. I am so confident that your nature and your character are set that I'm going to stand here and I'm going to say thank you, God, for my deliverance, even though I do not see it." Can you do that? Or can you only say thank you when you see it? Because faith requires of us that if God's grace is true, to be people who say, "God, I thank you for a good outcome, and I speak it and I believe it to be so, even though I have not yet seen it." It has to be as real to us. The nature and the character and the goodness of God must be as real to us in these moments of praise, so that we are so confident in the goodness and the nature of God that we will stand and declare it before we see it. I have got into so much hot water preaching this. Because religious people say, oh, name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. And sounds like a dodgy firm of solicitors, doesn't it? Blab it and grab it, limited. But you know, it's not about what I can do. It's about saying, God, if you are true, then I'm going to say this outcome is done. You will hear and you will save. We got to thanking God that we would be great parents before we ever saw our children. And I had some incredibly hard situations around that one with people who said to me, what are you doing that for? It doesn't work for you. Really? And the truth was, we didn't see it in the physical. But God spoke to us and said, if you will declare it before you see it, and if you will believe it, and you will believe what I have said is true, you will see your victory. He was building faith in us. I think too many of us go to complaining. I think too many of us go to talking. I think too many of us go to what everybody else thinks. I think too many of us default to, well, what do you think? Let's have a wee chat about that. Some of us need to get back to turning our face to God and declaring the goodness of God, and I'm going to see his goodness because it releases grace. Here's a good thing I love about this. If God says he will heal, he will. If God says he will deliver, he will. If God says that he will restore, then he will. In verse 12, Jehoshaphat goes on. He says, we are powerless against this great horde that's coming against us. I don't know what to do. Has anyone ever felt like this? God, I really don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. Sweet mercy. This is a penalty kick, isn't it? God, I don't know what to do. Anyone said that anytime recently? Penny says it every day when she looks at me. God, I don't know what to do. God, help me. Look at that. Great big handsome lump of a man I'm married to. Big lump being the operative word, isn't that right, sweetheart? That's what I love about grace in here. You're going to see the grace of God and the unmerited favor of God work through a guy who stands before the people and goes, God, actually the truth of it is, this is not, see, in the hyper-faith camp in churches, what it says is, it doesn't matter what's going on in your heart, just keep saying it and you'll have it. Utter nonsense. What we say has to be the fruit of what's in our hearts. And sometimes what we say has to encourage and build faith in our hearts. It's okay to say to God, I'm feeling powerless. I don't know what to do, but I'm keeping my eyes on you right now. God can handle that. God can handle that. He's not going to not turn around your situation because you don't have enough faith. He's not going to not work because you're somehow feeling afraid. What he's saying is, in the middle of you being afraid, will you still praise me, still declare who I am, still build faith in your hearts, and for whatever you do, turn your face and keep your eyes on me. Just keep your eyes on me. And where do you see the victory that I'm going to do? And Jehoshaphat, I'm going to deliver you against the hordes, and lots of the Ammonites. And I am seriously struggling with my words today. Oh, need to glue my teeth in a bit better. But all those people that are coming against you, I'm going to deliver you. But keep your eyes on me and keep declaring who I am. Because in the gap between God speaking and God delivering, the gap must be filled with praise. That's the key. It's the faith-building, heart-building, promise-building exercise that we go through in our lives to keep ourselves focused on Jesus, and we will see deliverance. Mind the gap and fill it with praise. I've said it so many times, even in the last couple of weeks. God, I can't do this, but you're able. I can't do it, but you're able. Now, here's what I love about this. What happens when we do that? What happens around us? Why is it so important that you come into this church and you live your life and you say, look, I'm not going to bitch and moan and complain about everything and everyone, but I'm going to turn my face to God, declare his goodness, know what is true and declare it, because if I keep declaring and building faith in my life, I'm going to see it happen. What happens in an atmosphere like this? This is what I love about it. I want to be around grateful, thankful people. I've had my fill of negative, cynical attitude and behaviors. I've had my fill of it in myself, and I've had my fill of it in everybody else. So I'm just going to come clean here. I'm going to say, let's just have enough of that. Can we just say that's not the kind of atmosphere or community that we want to be in? Because when I look at this story, what do you see? This incredible thing. Jehoshaphat is standing before the people going, I don't know what to do. I'm feeling slightly afraid. You might know what that's like in your life, but I'm going to keep my eyes on you. And he starts to build the faith of the people. He starts to declare the goodness of God. He starts to remind the people, God delivered us before. God did incredible work before. God is who he says, and he will hear us, and he will save us, and he will deliver us. And in the middle of that atmosphere, there's a young man, a Levite called Jahaziel, who stands up. Now, what about this for a charismatic meeting in the Old Testament? As the praise of God goes up in your life, in this church, as we declare the goodness of God, the prophet stands up, the Levite stands up, and he says this. Incredible things. In an atmosphere of faith and belief, he starts to prophesy. You see, whenever there is an atmosphere of praise, whenever there is an attitude of praise cultivated in your life, it releases the Spirit of God to bring about the truth of God and the Word of God for you and for others. That's why it's so important in your life that you cultivate praise. It's so important for me and my family that you are somebody who praises God on the wet Tuesday in October when things are crashing down around you, because I get to live in the good of that. And likewise, you get to live in the goodness of my praise to God week by week, because when we bring it together into an atmosphere of praise, the Spirit of God is free to move. Jahaziel stands up and he prophesies this. And he says, thus says the Lord to you. Can you imagine? As they're declaring the goodness of God, going, I feel afraid. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you, God. And they're praising God. It wasn't like a one-time thing. They were in this for a while. And then the Spirit of God gets onto this wee man and he stands up and says, don't be afraid. This is what God is saying. Don't be dismayed at this great horde, because the battle is not yours. It is God's. Isn't that awesome? I want to be in a place where people are standing up and going, Andrew, this battle is not yours. This is the Lord's battle, and we're going to declare the goodness of God over each other and over this church, and we're going to rest in the favor and the unmerited love of God, because it's not your battle anyway. Let's just see what the Lord's going to do. Sweet mercy, sign me up for that. Isn't it amazing in an atmosphere of praise that the Spirit of God brings about prophecy of a good victory? Let's banish cynicism, folks. Let's banish negativity. Let's banish slander and backbiting and talking. I want what they had, and I want it so much more. Be careful of little foxes that ruin vines. Be careful. Do not let it into your heart. Guard your heart. Keep yourself in the love of God and say, God, in my gap between what you've said and my deliverance, I'm going to praise you and turn my face to you. Because there is an incredible move that God can do in the middle of that. People standing up, and oh, this is Old Testament. I mean, this could be like Bethel or something. Standing up in the middle of it all going, no, thus saith the Lord. See all those people that we can see with our physical eyes that are going to cut our heads off tomorrow. God's just told me, don't worry about it. The battle is his, and we're going to see a victory. And all the people said, amen. Oh, what an atmosphere to be in. Awesome. He prophesies grace, does young Jahaziel. He prophesies unmerited favor. He reminds them of what the Holy Spirit reminds you of every day. And when you're in an attitude of praise, the Holy Spirit will remind you of the Spirit of grace in your life. He will remind you of the work of God in your life. When you're in cynicism and negativity, you cut God out of that. But when you're in an atmosphere and in a place of giving thanks to God and keeping your eyes on God and who he is, what happens is that the Holy Spirit magnifies God, magnifies Jesus, and prophesies grace over your life. Here's the incredible thing that Jehoshaphat hears. Jehoshaphat, standing there, he hears this word. As grace comes, you're not going to need to fight. But like in your life, if you're fighting to knock that wall down, like we heard prophetically today, stop and let God dismantle it. When the Spirit of God is moving in an atmosphere of praise, he magnifies Jesus and releases grace. Isn't that awesome? What are you magnifying in your life, the problem or the answer? Your life is going to go the way of your dominant thoughts. When you focus on your problems, your circumstances, you're going to stay there. Let's quickly go to verse 17. Because the word comes, it is done. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm. Listen to this. Hold your position and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand firm. Hold your position and you'll see the salvation of the Lord. On your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem, don't be afraid and don't be dismayed. When the word of God comes as a promise to your life, and you're standing and you have not seen it yet, you must learn to stand firm. This praise releases the grace into your life that will keep you standing when everybody else about you falls. Many people don't see the victory in their lives. And God knows I've been tempted to do a bolter, as we say in Belfast, many times. But God keeps saying to me, stand firm. Hold your position. And you will see the deliverance of God. I'm speaking to some people today who have thought, I'm packing in whatever situation it's in your life. I've had enough. It may not be physically walking away, but something in your heart might be going, God, I'm done. And I want to encourage you today, stand firm in the promise of God and in your identity as a son of God. Stand firm and hold your position. Because the intimidation of the enemy standing looking at you, the intimidation of a situation that can't be changed, will not overcome you if you will get to praising God and thanking God and declaring the goodness of God and standing firm in that place. You know, for some of you can't understand how that will work. It's because when you start to praise, when you don't praise God and thank God and declare the goodness of God over your life, you become lazy and clogged up. It feels like, you know, you need to get a lot of the gunk out of the way. And actually then the strength that comes when you start to praise him and you start to thank him is remarkable. It's a real change. And some of you just think, I don't know how to do that. It's probably a wee bit like going to the gym. I wouldn't know what that's like, but apparently it's quite hard for the first few and then it gets easier. You know what I mean? So they tell me. And so the point is, it's a little bit like that spiritually too. And some of us can't stand just very well. Can't stand firm very well just yet. I'm going to tell you, stand in your identity. So when the promise of God comes in an atmosphere of praise and an atmosphere of declaration, the word of the Lord comes and says, I have done this for you. The battle is done. Do you understand? You're not going to have to fight, but just stand and see my deliverance. I'm speaking to somebody here this morning whose situation you have been trying to change. There's people who you've been trying to change. There's outcomes that you've been trying to work. And the unmerited favor and grace of God comes to you and says, get to praising me and just stand in who I've made you to be and watch me work what you could never work on your own. Does that make sense? I'm just going to give one last point, and then I'm going to leave the last point. I'm going to come back to it because it's a cracker. If you say this morning, okay, that's me. God's spoken to me. I'm still standing, might just be maybe still standing. I've not yet seen my deliverance. I'm going to stand on God's promises, God's character. I'm going to stand on the word of my testimony. I'm going to stand, God, as you give me the strength to do it. What do you do then? What does Jehoshaphat do? If you're saying this morning, well, like, okay, I'm going to stand. I'm going to see how this works in my life. Jehoshaphat, verse 18, bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, and they worshipped him. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. When you're in the gap between God speaking and God delivering, set your face to worship and praise. They had not seen the battle won, but they thanked him just as much as if it had been done in that very moment. If you will stand and praise God for the victory before you see it, you will see your victory come to pass. When the word of the Lord came, and the word of the Lord was, this is my promise and it is done, his first response was not, thank God for that. Brilliant, boys. Let's have a wee sit down barbecue before the morning. When the word of the Lord came, they all got together and they turned their face and they said, thank you, and they worshipped. Do you know when the word of the Lord comes to deliver you? I'll provide for you, I'll heal for you, all of this stuff. I sometimes am amazed at my own life, how blasé I can be about the promises of God. When I say blasé, what I mean is ungrateful. Blasé just is a nicer way of putting it. God speaks to me every day through the Holy Spirit. And sometimes the hardness of my own heart And the cynicism of my own heart just goes, yeah, whatever. Anyone? But I look at Jehoshaphat, and as the word of the Lord came, and he said, I have heard you, and this battle is done. You're not even going to need to lift your hand. His response was he turned and he put his face to the ground. He just worshiped God and said, thank you. He just worshiped God and he said, thank you. So after the word comes and before he goes out to battle the next day, the time in the middle was filled with thanksgiving. If you need to build faith in your life, make it a discipline in your life to thank God every day. I'm so challenged personally by this, I'm just bringing it down. The last point's a real belter, but I'm going to leave it because I really want to take some time on it. I have found that as I have done a ready reckoner of my thoughts and my thinking over the last number of months, if I was to plot a graph for time spent moaning, even to God and to myself, or let's not say moaning, let's just say time spent driving myself clean bonkers with, what about that, what about that, who knows what, do you know what I mean? Playing the same old, versus the time spent with God, stuff that, you're good. You're good. Look at my 11-year-old son this morning running around like an Egypt. 11 years old, the goodness of God. Look at all my lovely friends here. Look at, you know, most of you. And Bruce Forsyth, you're all my favorites. You see, what God has said to me is, Andrew, this has been the missing link for you personally in this last period of time in your life. This will describe the lack of fruit sometimes that I find frustrating in my own life. Because I've been concentrating and letting my thoughts go into all the wrong things. And I have not been releasing grace myself by praising God for who he is and what he's done. In the gap between God having spoken to you and seeing your deliverance, fill it with worship and praise. Amen? Would it be okay if the week after next I came back to finish this talk? Because I'm probably about halfway through. And the way that God delivers the people and the result of the deliverance is grace in action. Because whenever God does something in your life, whenever you stand firm, whenever you hear the word of God and you go, my response will be turn my face and praise him, what God delivers is so far beyond what you could ever hope or dream of. It's just phenomenal. And what we will see in Jehoshaphat is after this, for the rest of his reign, he lived in peace. And in fact, that the spoils of the victory after 3 days, they didn't even have enough time to collect all the riches off the battlefield. They had an embarrassment of riches and they didn't lift their hand once. Not just after that, but for the remaining time as his tenure as king. You see, whenever you stand and you let God fight your battle, you let the promise of God determine how you behave, you will see far beyond anything that you could ever hope or dream of. And the key is this, at every opportunity, he turned his face to God, declared the goodness of God, the thankfulness to God, and gave testimony to the goodness of God over his life. Amen? I mean, that is so simple, that talk so far, isn't it? But so profound. Do a wee ready reckoning in your head and say, Lord, how much time have I spent last week turning my face to everywhere else? I'm going to release grace in my life. I'm going to release grace in my family, into my home, into my relationships, into my church, into my business, by being somebody who's thankful to God. Amen? Stand up.